Blog Talk Radio.
Regarding the show. This week, we're going into our third week of the study of Psalm 119 with Sister Bobby Lively. In just reading this chapter, it's easy to get lost in the repetition of words. But in this study, we pray that you can get a clear picture of the why of these words being repeated. The key to this entire chapter is in letting the Word of God become alive for you. This is a much-needed way of reading the Bible. If not, it is just like reading anything else that tells a story. As always, you're welcome to share your comments and questions at the end of the show. And now, our very own Sister Bobbi Lively, Blog Talk Mom. How are you?
Well, I'm so glad to be back, and I really appreciate Wild Bill and Sister Starla for allowing me to spend this much time to share about Psalms 119. It is not, again, that I am an authority on it, but it has done, I really don't even know how to describe the inspiration, the direction. Well, that's exactly what Psalm 119 is. It's not just one thing. It sounds like it's repeating the same thing over and over. It is not. If you take each verse and you begin to put it in context, and then you allow the Spirit of God to make it personal. This is what is so wonderful about the Word of God. It is a personal word to each of us. I was sharing with Sister Starla that a person approached my car this past week, and I just knew. There was nothing about their appearance. They were totally harmless in every way, but I knew that I was to be on guard. And God, in His Word, it's not just about people that can rob you or whatever, but the enemy is, he came to steal, he came to kill, he came to destroy. That's his personality, that's his aim. And so when we stay in the Word of God, God gives us the exact word that we need for the exact occasion. Does that mean that we're totally always just aware that everything, or, you know, I've been so confused before when I was going through a trial, I could not figure anything out, and it may be a year or so before it came around, but the Word of God was there, and it did a work. I didn't comprehend it at the time, but later on I could look and see, yes, if I had not spent time in the Word of God, if I had not been obedient to the Word of God, if I had not allowed it to do what God designed it to do, I might not have been around for the second chapter of whatever situation that we're going through. So there was an article. I found it, didn't have in my notes. That's what I needed, was one more page of notes. Oh, y'all. But this is so beautiful. It's talking about what the Bible is. It is. The Bible says a two-edged sword. That is a powerful weapon that we can come against the enemy mentally, physically. Our emotions are involved, and we can allow the Word of God to be that two-edged sword that cuts down every weapon that the enemy would try to bring against us. No weapon will overcome us because we have a two-edged sword in the Word of God. And there's other images that it brought out, and I'm not going to take a lot of the time with it, but the Word of God is, it can't even be comprehended. There was, as I was just praying before we got started, Sister Starla, I just felt the presence of the Lord so beautifully. And then while Bill choosing that song, I don't think there could have been a better song anywhere at any time than that one. It is just so beautiful of who He is, who God is. And the scripture that the Lord quickened to me was in Luke 4:18. And it's when Jesus stood up. Now, all of Psalms 1, when you read all of Psalms, well, all the whole Bible, but when you're reading it, and we discussed so much of it already, but it portrays everything that Jesus fulfilled. Even the eight verses, I mentioned this before, but one of the speakers that was talking about where the Hebrew alphabet was set up, the 22 consonants, and it said the eight chapters would be like the sixth day was the day of creation, all the way to the sixth day, the day of man. Then the seventh day, God rested, and then the eighth day, He made Himself flesh and came, and the Word was made flesh and came and dwelt among us. It is just so awesome. But in Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me, this is Jesus, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. And this is why it is so repetitious, because this is what each verse and each eight verses together will portray, a particular time. One of the scriptures, it says, the band of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. I remember thy law, Lord. Oh, yes, the band of the wicked have robbed me. I've gone through a terrible trial, Lord. I'm hurting. There's something that really is maybe no one else even understands that I would be going through. But you came, Lord, to heal the brokenhearted. You came for that. And I was brokenhearted, and you healed me. And he desires to do that to the world. The world has shut the door. To think of children going through 12 years and more of school, where a system has said that the Word of God cannot be accepted, and to say that we came out of some kind of stupid evolutionary, that is the most absurd thing I've ever seen. I went to Walmart to get some things for a program we're going to have, and they had this, they had all the Halloween stuff, they were getting rid of it, and 50 cents, I think, and they had this humongous monkey's head. Cutest thing you've ever seen. It was huge, and it was in the there for 50 cents. And I thought, I'm going to buy that for an object lesson, but someone had put it in there. It was really almost $20. But I just thought I could get that, and I could stand up front of my class and hold that monkey's head up there and say, just think, kids, one day we was monkeys. I mean, it's just so stupid. It is so stupid. But yet we have bought into it. Survival of the fittest. So, you know, if you really buy into that, then you can just believe that anything in society, if it makes money, if it's glamorous, if it's part of the stuff, then it's all right to divorce and to scatter children all over the place and do all of these things. It's all right. You know, survival of the fittest. No, it is a program set in motion, step by step. And I will try to be very quiet for a minute and get into our Psalms 119, beginning with, we've done Olive, and now we're going to do Beth. And if Sister Starla, if you would read the eight verses that go for Beth, please.
Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts, and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word.
And again, it would almost seem repetitious. But you've got, all right, in Deuteronomy 6, I think it's 4 through 7, and Sister Charles is going to read that. If my understanding is on target, the Hebrew children, the Jewish children, before they ever did anything, they would quote this, little children, and they would quote this, and then Jesus brings it out, you know, the whole substance of it, when they wanted to know, well, what do we believe? What law is this, and what law is that? And Jesus said, you know, love God. Love him with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, and then love your neighbor as yourself. Then you don't have to have 9,900 rules. You're going to be obedient to what's right. Okay, Sister Charlotte, you'll read Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 7, I believe.
4 through 7?
Or 4 through 8 or 9. I don't have it here, but whatever we talked about earlier, just read all
okay.
of those verses, if you will. Okay, thank you.
Okay, I believe it was 4 through 12.
Wow.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God. The Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Now stop me where you want me to stop. And thou shalt bind them, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house, and on thy gate. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things, which thou buildest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not, which thou shalt have eaten and be full. Then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage.
That is so wonderful. I mean, it sums up everything. What are we talking about in Psalms 119? The word. You know, bind it in your head, in your mind, where your hands are. You know, if you've got the word of God right there on your hands, then when you start to reach for something or do something, or it's in your mind, it's going to establish you. And then they came out of Egypt. You know, they came out of bondage. They came out of all types of oppression. And God is saying, I'm going to give it all to you. You're going to have vineyards you didn't even plant. You're going to have cities you didn't even build. But beware lest you forget God. Unless you forget who brought you out of Egypt. And you know, so many times, and living for the Lord for many years, there's those times that you see people that are so fervent, and then they backslide. They forget. But you know what? The Bible says God is married to the backslider. He is reaching right now, this very moment. If there's anybody that's listening and hearing these words, God, if you are lost, God is reaching for you now. He wants you. He loves you. He has a plan and a purpose for your life and for all of our lives. And so we're going to look here at, there's several other scriptures that Sister Star is going to help me with, but I'm going to look at this first scripture that Sister Star read. Again, I want to thank both of you for allowing me to do this, and I've enjoyed it, and it's sort of like if you eat something that's really good, you sure do want to share it or whatever, or a good service you've been in, you want to talk about it. So this has really been an inspiration to me in a great way. All right, I'm just going to sort of break it down at like the first verse, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Cleanse, if you look into this word, is how can you be innocent again? How can you cleanse what's already been, you know, just made ugly and contaminated? You know, something that's just taken away your healthy kind of pride and everything, your dreams, you know, how can a young man cleanse, be innocent again, clean and pure? And you know, his way, it says here, cleanse his way. How can he cleanse his way? The way is the well-trodden road. He may be out with alcohol. He may have already perverted himself in some kind of a relationship, sexual relationship. He may have a path that he's walking on that is perverted. It is not right. It is not right with the Word of God. And the Word of God is our pattern. You don't have to even worry, you know, wonder, be confused. It is our pattern. It plainly tells us what is right and what is wrong. So how can you be cleansed if you've been going down the wrong path? And you're sunk down deep in all of the junk and the everything that was never supposed to happen in your life, and you're on that path. This is how. This is how you can be cleansed. Take heed. That means head yourself in, text yourself by, and be a watchman, and beware of the devil's tricks and the devil's plans, and take heed by doing that according to the word of God, according to God's word. You can't make it any more simple. You can't make it any plainer. We talked already, we mentioned that when he talks about his word, yeah, there's so many other words, but I'm going to use these to, they're more simple forms of it, but his word are his commandments, the decrees that he has made, the righteous judgment, the testimonies and promises, how we can hold on to a promise, how Sister Lively was in a place probably 40-something years ago, and I did not know which way to turn. Everything seemed to be caving in on me. I did not know which way to turn. And God sent his word into my heart. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. What were all these other things? Brokenness, hurt, pain. All of these things would be healed if I would put him first. And I found that to be true, and I am a living witness and a testimony of the power of God to pick you up, turn you around, set your feet on solid ground, because he is a God that loves us and has prepared a way for every one of us. He is a provider. He has perfect counsel for whatever situation we're going in, if we won't be too proud or presumptuous to listen and to be obedient. God's word will recover us from whatever situation we're in. It will restore us, revive us, and repair us. And I read this before, but it is so to the point. What is our part? Over and over in this song, walk in his word. What do you mean by walking, Sister Lively? Walk, going forward. Get in the path, the straight and the narrow path that leads to eternity, leads to heaven, leads to his way. Walk that way. Don't get on a skateboard and go down the slippery slope to hell. There's a broad way that leads to destruction. Wide is the gate. Why do in these most of these towns, you think it's a coincidence that one of some of their largest, most evil streets in that city is called Broadway? Duh. I mean, it wasn't like they were trying to hide anything. And so we are to walk in his word. We are to speak his word. When the enemy tells us a lie, we will speak the truth. Where's our example? Jesus himself. And when he fasted and he was approached by Lucifer, and Lucifer used the word of God, Jesus used the word of God. He used it according to the what it really was. He didn't get 19 other versions that, y'all, please, I don't want to get on that, but please be careful of what versions, because I say KJ is not a version, but it's the Bible, KJV, the Bible. And I know all of that, but you will find insight and strength that you won't get any other way. So meditate in his word. What do I mean? I'm certainly not talking about some kind of zing-zang and looking like you, oh, please, you know. But meditating means to give full focus and attention and to let the Spirit of God take the word of God and quicken it and make it alive to you, and to long for his word, and to have respect for his word. Rejoice in his word, and delight in his word. And we're going to talk about some of those things, but I just want to review that again, because it always sort of brings me right back into focus. So that was the first verse, 119:9. And then he goes on to say, with my whole heart, How about softy? Whole heart. Half heart? A third of your heart. Some of your heart? With my whole heart. That's your feelings, your intellect, and your understanding. Oh, well, I'll love God with my spirit. You know, I'm really a spiritual person. But, you know, when I want to be entertained, I want to go another way. Because, you know, you can't just, oh, I've heard that kind of junk. And I probably even said it myself. But God is saying, with our whole heart, our feelings, our intellect, our understanding, our plan, everything that we do, everything in our life is to be centered around God's word and his what it says to us. He says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Now, that's a strong word. That means to pursue, search, inquire. I mean, you know, get with it. I'm seeking God. I'm pursuing this. It's going to take the priority over a whole lot of things that before I had priority in my life. I'm going to search out the scriptures. This is another thing that is very exciting. I'm not against, you know, research and Google and all that kind of thing. If that's the way, whatever. I'm not trying to do this in a way to attack anything. But what I am saying is that if you will go to the scriptures, for instance, take a word that is in Psalms 119 and go to other scriptures, it is beautiful. It will take you back into the Old Testament, forward into the New Testament. And you will, it's just like I mentioned last week, you can have one piece of a puzzle, and I love these big puzzles that they have for elderly people. They're huge, and then each piece is shiny and pretty. But when you put them together, you've got a picture. And that's really, when you put Word of God with Word of God, you get an insight, a great insight. So I'm going to inquire and search. And then the scripture says, let me not wander. I don't want to stray away. I don't want to wander. I don't want to transgress. And what does that remind you of? The little lamb, the little lost sheep that wanders away. And Jesus will leave the 99, he said, and go after that one lost. He loves us. He cares for us. So I don't want to stray or wander or transgress against his law and his commandments. And that commandment, it could be the Ten Commandments, it could be the Torah that he's referring to, it could be a law or a precept that God has laid down. There are some things I cannot do that other people can do, and I don't want to lay that down. It is called a conviction. A conviction to me is a precious gift that God, knowing me completely, let me know that I can't do that. I can't go there. I can't be a part of certain things. That doesn't mean that people that do it, some of those things, are wrong. It's just that skating, for instance. To go skating, to me, it is so funny. People say, they play Christian music. I thought, really? You know, whatever. I mean, really? Honest. I mean, really. I mean, there's nothing as provocative as a person skating. I mean, dancing. I mean, whatever. But I didn't plan to say that. And again, well, I guess that maybe the memories I had when I went skating probably sort of darkened it a little bit too. But other things, I'm about to turn negative here, but I want to mention something about women that... I want them to think. I want anybody that's listening and to think about how you dress and what you know. Johnny Carson one time, he said, you know, the one thing he really liked about getting a present was getting to unwrap it. I mean, nothing's hidden anymore. Just whatever. I'm going to get away from that. Okay. I'm not going to stray or wander from your laws and your precepts, your commandments. And it says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. In some of the references that I looked up, it's when you've got God's word and you want to protect it. you esteem it. You're not going to be making fun and using it as euphemism ever. You know, you're going to use the things of God, and you're going to have them as, while Bill was brought out last week, the man that reached up to steady the ark, he had no bad intention at all. It was all good intentions. I think someone said the pathway to hell is paved with good intentions. We must go beyond that and be obedient and hide these things in our hearts and esteem them as great treasures. And we'll get into those scriptures. There's so many of them that compare it to great treasure. It says, I'm going to keep it in my heart that I might not sin. How? Against God. That I might not sin against Him. When you transgress and you break the word of God, you are sinning against the creator of the world, the redeemer, the savior. That's not a good idea. Blessed, 119 and 12. It, this is talking about blessed thou art thou, O Lord. He is to be adored and worshiped. Worship Him with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then you say, Lord, teach me thy statutes. Statutes, what could He be saying? As I looked up the scriptures surrounding statutes, it's an appointed boundary. It's a set time. It's a particular task. Lord, I worship You. I adore You, Lord. Teach me what boundaries that I am to be within. And what am I supposed to be doing? What task have You cut out for me to do? Lord, is there a set time? A set time that I should be somewhere? And this was so wonderful. I had an appointment with someone tentatively, and it didn't work. And so I went to, I love to go to this particular nursing home. And when I'm getting out of the car, a lady who I'd never seen before had started to work there. And we had the most awesome visit. She plans on coming to church. And see, the Lord knows, He knows the boundaries. He knows the set times and the tasks. It will be yielded and very alert to it. 119:13 says, with my lips have I declared all the judgment of thy mouth. Not, this is sort of funny, I guess, but when you're judgmental, not, you know, let's switch this a minute. Your lips will be saying things that are not about God, are not good. And they usually, you know, there's life and death is in the tongue. And there's that's a whole different lesson too. But this is saying, with my lips have I declared all the judgment of thy mouth. And your whole life will turn a different direction when you begin to proclaim the judgments of God. I see it like in a courtroom. And, you know, everybody's been testifying and everybody's been given their part and all of the system of the courtroom. And then God stands up and in the regular courtroom, it would be the judge. But He is the judge. It's the judgments that He all, and they comfort us. One of the scriptures we'll read is that when He was going through hard times, He said, but I considered thy judgments of old, and I comforted myself. You know why? Because God never loses, ever. And if we're, it says, all things will work together for our good if we love the Lord and we're called according to His purpose. Okay, 119 and 14, and I'll pause a minute to see if Sister Starla, did you have any particular thing that you wanted to say? Because I'm going to have you read in just a second.
Okay, no, go on.
Okay, 119:14. I have rejoiced in the way, that's the path, and the method of thy testimonies. I rejoice in the way of thy testimonies. Again, it's the way. It's the way that God does it. the mercy and the love that is extended, the testimonies, just, you know, just that one testimony of the alabaster box. When that woman goes in, you read that, and she comes in, and she's, you know, she's been a horrible person. But she knows that Jesus has forgiven her. And she comes in, and she begins to weep. And she has this alabaster box. It's the only valuable thing she has in her entire life. She doesn't have anything else. I mean, that's it. It's really something. And she takes it, and she breaks it. And she pours it all over Jesus, you know, his feet. And she anoints his feet. And the disciples like, well, we could have took that. We could have sold it. So we'd have money for the poor. Really. Think about that a minute. Just think about that. It was one of the most beautiful things in the world. And you know what it can speak to me? And Jesus said, this is going to be told everywhere that the gospel is preached. Because she's anointed me for my burial. How beautiful. How beautiful. How that one thing came right in focus with the plan that was that God was doing and with Jesus when the whole part of his burial. There's so many beautiful stories that we can receive from that, but the one I get from the alabaster box. Is that no matter if you worship him, he receives that worship and he'll turn it again for one of the greatest blessings. You just can't outgive him. It is just, that's a testimony. And in prayer meeting today, we were praying, and there's a lady that comes to prayer meeting, beautiful, precious elder. She's been through so much terrible heartache in her life. And I was just going by there, and I just thought, you know what? There's a testimony there about a lady that she didn't have anything to eat. She didn't have anything. It was over. But she had just enough that she brought it, and she was benevolent to the man of God. And because of that, she never went hungry. And then later, there was a miracle in her family. And as I was talking to the sister about it, the Spirit of God came down and just all but said she was going to see some miracles take place in her family. And, of course, God has taken care of her. And these are testimonies that we can rejoice in because it's how God deals. It's personified in whatever the testimony that it is. So I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimony as much as in all riches. Oh, really? Yeah. Because there's not anything in this world, no amount of gold or silver, diamonds or whatever, that can compare with, to knowing the Lord. The scripture says you can count it all as dung, refuse, that you would know Christ. There's not a greater treasure. In 1:19-15, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I'm going to give it first-class focus, and I'm going to respect it with all of my heart, the way that you tell me to go, Lord, and the way your word tells me to go. Psalms 1:19-16, I will delight myself. Now, I'm talking about when I looked up some of the words for delight, it's grandiose amusement. it's about as exciting amusement as you can do. I remember when I was working a couple of years ago, I haven't had a television for I don't know how long, about 30 years or so. And where I worked, they had one, and I hadn't been where there was one. And it was some kind of prize show, I think. And I was standing in the kitchen cooking and cleaning while they were in the other room. And the way I understand it, they chose a name. And when they chose the name, the person got to come up and be a contestant to win something. They didn't actually win it. They just got to be a contestant to win it. And they would jump out of their seat, fall down on the floor, roll over, get up, high five. I never saw them. I thought, don't anybody ever dare say anything about Pentecostals worshiping the Lord. Because, I mean, we've got something. We don't have to get up and try out for it. It's a gift. I mean, it's already ours. So I thought I'd throw that in there. So it says, I will not forget thy word. That word, that spoken word to us, that advice that he's given us, that path and direction, the judgments. I'd heard a story, I think Wild Bill may have told me, but of a man that, and a lady that they had gone to, I don't know how, 10 years, a lot of college to, for their profession. I mean, a lot. And they were very successful. And in a service where they were, it was a missionary service, and God spoke to them, and they went to the altar, gave up everything, and then their profession, and became missionaries to another country that was a very, very poor country. And I think that is one of the most beautiful pictures in my mind, to just lay it all down and walk with God, with his counsel, with whatever direction he tells us to go, and whatever commandments he gives us. So, Sister Starla, if you have, I know you do, and I didn't, the first scripture that I gave you, or if you want to, will you read Psalms 25 and 7? Do you have that one?
Hang on just a second.
I'm sorry, I lost my page of your with the numbers on it, and I so appreciate you doing this, Sister Starla.
Okay, 25 and 7.
Yes.
Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for the goodness sake, thy goodness sake, O Lord.
And now, see, Sister Starla, well, we're talking about how this goes right along with that. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. And then here, remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness sake. It's like, again, the puzzle. It just goes right in and makes it more beautiful and more receptive and more powerful. And you had Deuteronomy. You read that one, didn't you? Deuteronomy, yes, all the way through 12. I appreciate that very much. And then James 1, James chapter 1, verses 21 through 27. This is very good.
Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world.
Oh, thank you so much, Sister Starla. And right there, keep himself unspotted from the world. But as you read down through there, it was almost like taking the 8 verses from Psalms 119 and just rewording it, but saying the very same thing. You know, you're going to cleanse yourself. How? By the word of God. You're going to be a doer of the word. You're going to speak. You're going to let your lips speak his word. And that's what it said. You're going to look into the law of liberty. You're going to be a doer. You know, not just, it's just beautiful. it amazes me how Psalms 119, it just opens up to me reading 119 and then reading the New Testament, especially the New Testament scriptures that go with it. It's because there seems like there's always been such a battle between law and grace. You know, I'm saved by grace and I don't have to do anything. That isn't in harmony with the Word of God. Because if you're saved by grace, and we'll get to another scripture in 119 where it says, remove from me the way of lying and grant me thy law graciously. Yeah, I'm going to have it, but I'm going to have it with the grace of God. And that is so much more beautiful to comprehend. And because it's just a release from the debate that the enemy seems to be able to instill in every situation, every point. As we've mentioned each week about the Acts 2:38, it was at the Pentecost, the Feast of Pentecost. I mean, you don't have to say, well, I know those Pentecost, that Pentecost. And I'm not talking about a denomination or a church. I'm talking about the Word of God. I'm sharing with what Peter told them when they wanted to know what to do to be saved. He said, repent. And we're going to read a scripture in 119 where it says, I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimony. Repentance is turning. Turning your feet towards God and away from your own way. And if you turn it towards God, then you're going to do the rest of it. Repent, turn, and be baptized, not according to John's baptism. No, he made that plain. Just like he told Nicodemus, you're going to be born of the water and the Spirit. Repent, be baptized in Jesus' name. How can that be debatable? That is the plainest thing in the world. And be filled with the mighty power of the Holy Ghost as God breathes upon you, as you are obedient to the word, to the plan, to what God has said, his decree, everything, the path that he has laid before us, the statutes, the principles, all of these things. Obey it. It works. It just does. And I am amazed that we can, I don't know, it's not amazing grace either. It's just me not being able to comprehend. Okay. Again, if we read this all the way through on those eight verses, it would totally go along with what we're saying about in the New Testament. Okay. Sister Starla, you had another one. I believe it was Psalm 34:11-14. Yes.
Yes. Come ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it.
And see, there again, it goes with that. With my lips will I declare the judgments of thy mouth. We can't do both, you know, and it's telling you, I'm going to keep my tongue from evil, my lips from speaking guile. I'm going to depart from evil and do good. In other words, I'm going to choose the path that God has laid before me. I'm going to seek peace. I'm going to pursue it. Who is and what is peace? God is peace. The peace of God that passes all understanding, that keeps us, our heart and our mind, how? Through Christ Jesus. Okay, that is so beautiful. Do you have anything in particular? Is Wild Bill going to? I would trust him. He's going to get to be with us tonight. He had a particular job that he had to do. But if he gets on there, you just tell me to. Wait a minute or something, okay, Sister Starla?
Okay, I will.
Okay, and then you've got John 15, verses 2 through 7, please.
Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask whatever what ye will, and it shall be done unto you.
Wow, that's a pretty good promise. If we abide in him,
that
in
is.
His what? His words. I love it. If we abide in him, he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. To me, that is just a sums up what we've been reading in the Psalm 119. I could maybe hear somebody say, well, certainly it's not going to contradict it. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about insight and knowing it in a different way, comprehending it in a different way. Now, we're going to go to, we've got Alice Beth. That's this, as we mentioned before, that's how we get the word alphabet for our alphabet. And we're going to go to the next eight verses, which I think we won't spend a lot of time, but I believe we can sum it up. It's Gimel, and one of the teachers said it was like you visualize a camel, and I can do that because camel starts with C, so you got A, B, C. And if you want to study, I recommend many places on YouTube where you can go and study the Hebrew, and it's in very insightful. Again, I don't listen to anyone if they're not using the King James Version because of King James Bible, because I just believe that with all my heart. I might sometime. No, I don't guess I have, because as soon as they begin to quote from another version, then I go to, because there's so many that do use the King James. And so we're going to use the next one is Alice Beth Gimel, and it's Psalms 119, and it goes verses 17 through 24. And again, as Sister Starla reads it, you will see how this flows, the beautiful picture that it all flows together. So Sister Starla, please.
Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto the judgments at all times. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors.
This portion, especially, all of it spoke to my heart, that this was especially applicable to some certain things in my life, and I guess it would be to anybody. But it says, deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word. Well, when you're 77 years old and you're wanting to do all the things that I want to do, deal bountifully, Lord, with thy servant that I may live. And he has. He has just given me strength. Someone said the other day that it was just amazed that, you know, that God has blessed me with strength and health. And I want to do it because I want to live for him. I want to live and keep his word. Keep it in my heart. Share it with others. I love it. I love it. And then open thou mine eyes. How many times, Sister Star, do we go through a thing, some situation, and we just don't understand? We don't understand. And here, the psalmist, he gets before God, and he says, God, open my eyes. That's not like necessarily blindness, but we don't see. We really don't. Open thou mine eyes, that I might be able. Yes.
Wild Bill for a minute.
Okay.
Hey, I don't know how well you guys can hear me. I'm standing outside waiting on them to get my tractor and trailer hooked for me to go to work. But I've really been enjoying listening to this. And a lot of people really miss out on when they read the scriptures as well. That's Old Testament. It don't really apply to us and everything. But really, when you take it into the narrative of the Word of God, it is about us. Because where they had a temple that they went to in the Old Testament, we are the temple of the living God. You know, when
wow.
It talks about the markings that was put on the doorpost and the things like that. Well, what part of that would be the doorpost? Your eyes is where things go in, you know, your hands, your body, those things are part of the temple of the Almighty God. And the things of the law, we have to understand the only part of that that went away was the fact that we don't have to make a sacrifice of an animal to shed his blood to move our sins from one year to the next. Because Jesus became the perfect sacrifice, and in doing that, he's made our sins remitted, and he let us know that he continued that with water baptism for the remission of sins. And, you know, he made it clear that those are the things that we're supposed to teach. Those things are important. And when you look at Psalm and you read about these things about statutes and things, the statutes of the Old Testament may not be quite exactly the same thing as the statutes of what God wants to do now, because now he will speak to you. He will speak with your heart. The Holy Ghost will lead and guide you into all truth if you let it. But it's gotten to where people don't feel like they need to have that relationship to listen to God. We like going to him like he's an ATM, you know. Oh, I need this, and I want that, and I need this. And, man, I'm between a rock and a hard place, and, Lord, I need you, need you, need you. But there's so many things that he will equip us for everything in our life so that we can face whatever it is when we allow him to take things of examples that we see, the tops and shadows of the Old Testament. And as you look through here with Psalms 119, and you see how he spoke to the people there, and then you hear how with the narrative of the word now, how he's wanting to speak to us through these same scriptures to where we should be thankful that he loves us and us, that he lets us know, this is what I want you to do. This is what's needed. This is plan of salvation. You know, verily, verily, I say unto you, you must be born of the water and of the Spirit. There was no ifs, ands, or buts. He made it perfectly clear because he loves us that much. This wasn't like, okay, I'm going to put this real hard riddle out there, and if you guys can figure out, maybe you'll make it in. But on top of that, to where people want to make it to where we have no accountability, then why does the Bible say that the righteous are scarcely going to make it? Scarcely going to make it. If it doesn't behoove you to look at these tops and shadows of things in the Old Testament and see it and look seriously at some of the rituals of what the Jewish people had established in their lifestyle, and then try to take it and let God speak it into your heart for this day and time. Because for sure we're living in a day and time where things are winding up. If it's not, I used to hear people say 20 years ago, God's going to have to bring back Sodom and Gomorrah and apologize to it. And things are a whole lot worse now than what they were when I heard preachers saying that. So I just really pray that you take time as you read these words and you hear Lyrical Lyle with Blocktop Mom teach on these things, that you understand that it's important, that it's one of those things that as you go through it, you talk to God. Listen to him. Let him speak to your heart and let him complete a work in your life that he's promised he'll do. So that's all I have. I need to get out here and try to find my truck out here and but thank you again, Blocktop Mom, for the great job you're doing on this.
Well, thank you for allowing me to share it. And I do appreciate you so much, Wild Bill. I know you're working hard tonight in the come aside and share that with us, because it's very, very good. I told everybody you're putting the icing on the cake. I love that. Okay, is he gone? There's a thought that I had read in an article. It said a football team doesn't go on the field without knowing which end zone that they're running toward. I mean, wouldn't that be just absurd, you know, that you just, they just go out there and not know which one was their goal? And the Word of God, we're in a race, you know, I mean, we're going in a direction, and we need to know. And God, there's a scripture in Isaiah, I think I have it here, it's 42 and 16. God says, "And I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them, and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them, and not forsake them." Now, we will hear every part of that in Psalms 119. If you make note of these scriptures, then as we go through 119, I don't know the exact verse, but he says, "I will keep thy statutes, so forsake me not utterly." And when you, there are just so many of them that I've read it, I would read them, I tentatively knew, but when I read it in context with the Word of God, I get a much deeper insight. The one where it talks about, "I'm a stranger in the earth, hide not thy commandments from me." And I thought on that one, and I prayed about that one. "I'm a stranger in the earth, hide not thy commandments from me." And then when I really looked into the Word of God, this, I got so excited, Sister Starla. The scriptures, now, I don't know if I have them right here, but it was talking about we're pilgrims and we're strangers. we belong to a city whose builder and maker is God. I got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. And I'm just a pilgrim here. I'm just a stranger here because I've been born again. I'm born of the water and the spirit. I belong to Jesus, and it's available, you know, anybody that wants to be a part of it. God says, "Whosoever will." I just think that is so beautiful when I saw that in the context with the scripture and understood what God was saying to me. This earth and all that it has, I'm not going to be a part of that. All right. Was that Wild Bill?
Yeah. He said that there's a lot of distractions there. He'll be back in a minute.
Okay. All right. Well, we missed him right there. But isn't that a beautiful scripture? "I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not." I didn't know about baptism in Jesus' name. I was blind to that. I had no idea that God would do a work in me that I call it sanctification. A lot of people, I don't think they use that term anymore. But I had a situation in my life where I would go to church and I would feel the presence of God. And I'm talking about 40-something years ago. And I really did. I mean, I felt God. I would cry. I would weep. I would shout, whatever. I don't think I shouted back then, but anyway, I would really feel the Lord. I would go back out to the car, and that probably left some kind of, you know, the radio on, the music would start playing, and all of my good feeling and all of my closeness with God would just disappear. And I was aware of it. I really was. And it was one Sunday, and I didn't know that we were even going to do it. We did a communion service where you take the water, or I think they use water. I don't know what they use at that particular church. Some use wine, some use grape juice. And as you did that, you remembered the blood that Jesus shed. Just to, you know, this, I think communion service is my favorite thing in the whole world anyway. But they did that, and "This is my body." You know, we took the bread, and this represented his body that was broken for us. And I did that, And all of a sudden, I felt something I had never felt. I've been filled with the Holy Ghost, but I never had felt what happened when it was my first time to ever take communion. I went back out to the car after that service. The radio was on. I turned it off, and I made a point. Never, ever. If I went in a store and they were playing worldly music, if I went anywhere into a house or somebody else's area and there was worldly music, I got away from it just like I would if I uncovered me a snake. I mean, believe me, I get away from snakes because sin happens. And I love it because God saves us from the inside out. And that's one of my rapping songs, by the way, if anybody would like to read it or listen to it or whatever on YouTube or Spotify. I give myself a little commercial on that, but it's not about me. But I love it. I love the way that God is a winner. He is a winner. He is not a loser. I mean, go to the Genesis 3:15. He talked to the serpent. He said, yeah. He said, yeah, you bruised his heel, but he crushed your head. And Jesus said, and the Word of God tells us, he overcame death, hell, and the grave. And he is reigning, a reigning Savior and King. And he is coming back for a church that has made themselves ready. How do you make yourselves ready? By the Word of God. That have washed themselves, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to the Word of God. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts. I will not forget thy word. I will respect thy word and have respect unto thy word. Have respect unto his word. Nothing else to take priority or preeminence over him through his word. And I love the scripture. I memorized about 60 of them, but I have to really be focused to be able to do it, which is a miracle. Okay. Let's see. We finished two whole parts of it that time. We went through Aleph last week, Beth and Gimel this week. And forgive me if I'm not pronouncing that correctly, but I heard a really superior professor say, or pastor, that it's sort of like tomatoes and tomatoes. We're not going to, you know, just say it. And it's not really that every, I guess, person would say it with a different accent. So, sister, do you have any particular comment that you would like to make?
No, I've really enjoyed it. I mean, I think that it's all wonderful what you're teaching.
Well, you're just doing all of the hard work, reading all those scriptures. And there was some scriptures. There was talking about the testimonies of the Lord, you know, that we would rejoice in his testimonies and they become our counselors. I love that right there because if you go back into the Word of God and you study different people that God used and that were like the Ruth, the whole book of Ruth. But this three verses in Esther, it said, Esther 4:14 through 16, it says, "For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" I love that thought because in every family, you know, who knows that today or tomorrow when we go to a hospital to visit someone or we go out into the world, who knows that God is not putting us in that position for such a time as that, that we might say that word, that this is very unusual. I have two phones. I have my cell phone and then I have my home phone. I do not answer my home phone ever. I do not answer my home phone because it's telemarketers, but I have to have it, the Wi-Fi and whatever. I don't understand all that. I just don't answer it. So today, I walk into the room and the phone rings, and without any hesitance at all, I answer it. Well, it was a telemarketer, and it was something that I really do believe in. And so anyway, he put me through to another man, and this man, we begin to talk. We begin to talk about the Lord, and you could feel the Spirit of God. He said, he told me, I needed to, but he just opened up his heart of how he needed to talk about the Lord, how he needed to know, you know, the things that I was sharing with him, and told him about the rap that he could get on YouTube or Spotify, and, you know, I said, it's singing the Word of God. I said, I don't sell them. And he said, you don't sell them? And I said, no. He said, that's real. That's real. If you know, and he just went off, and I thought, you know, after I hung up, I thought, you know, that was not a coincidence. That all this time that I answer the phone. And, you know, it's just that God directs us for such a time as this. Be ready. Be yielded. Because that person might be, you may be the only person that would touch that, be able to touch them and to turn their life around. And the opportunities will be there if we pray. I pray every day, Lord, send me to someone. Give me an opportunity to share with someone. And I could tell you, I could write volumes about people that have come up to me weeping, wanting prayer, and different situations that are just beautiful because God is God. And then it went on to say with Esther, she went, after she consecrated to God, she went out and she said she was going to, she said, gather everyone together and fast for me. And she with her servants and her maidens, they fasted 3 days. And she went into the king. And she said, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. And, you know, it goes back to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I know God can. But if he don't, I'm still not going to bow. This is the kind of consecration that God is asking us to love him with all of our heart. And these are the scriptures that we read today. As I was putting it together in an outline, I was thinking about the choruses through the years that we have sung that seem like they, you know, just like this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Won't let Satan blow it out, I'm going to let it shine. And Jesus is a way maker. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I am blessed. He walks with me. That I love that one. Where in the garden, I go to the garden alone, but the dew is still on the roses or whatever. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we feel as he lingers near, and I can't remember all the words, but it is so anointed that when we walk with him in the way, that's what Psalms 119 repeatedly will tell us. Walk with him. Talk with him. This is his desire. We are his children, and he loves us. And I have so enjoyed this. I've had some more things, but we can get to that. Are we going to try to do it another week, Sister Starla?
Yes.
Are you you answered for a while, Bill?
Yeah, well, he and I had already talked about it. You were going to be doing this for a few weeks.
Oh, okay. That is good. Talking about, you know, walking with him and so many times in Psalms 119 it'll be walking in the way. The very first one, blessed are the undefiled that walk in the way of the Lord, law of the Lord. And I have meditated. I've really waited on the Lord to give me new and fresh insight on that, because if we're doing that every day, we're moving forward and we've got a path that He has. And I think 2 Corinthians says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." So again, we go back to the Word of God, and we spend time with Him, and then He leads into the path that His path, in the way that He wants to. There was a story, I read it years and years ago, and I've taught on it, and it's really stood out to me. There was a famous swimmer named Florence Chadwick, and her greatest accomplishment, she was crossing the English Channel. She was a swimmer. And, it was just, I remember the description of it. It was just dangerous. I mean, it was really a tremendous thing. And she did it. She wanted to cross from the Catalina Islands to the shore of California. And she was a long-range endurance swimmer. And the water was real cold. It was real choppy. And it was a 21-mile span, if you can believe it. Wow. So she goes, she's been swimming 15 or almost 16 hours, and there's sharks and difficult water and all of this, and she keeps going. And then all of a sudden, there was a fog that came down, and she couldn't see the shore. And she was right there, I mean right there. But when she couldn't see the shore, she completely collapsed, and they had to bring her in to the boat. They had to bring her in. So later on, when she went back, the reason was that she couldn't see. That, you know, she back to the walking by faith and not by sight. Sometimes, because we can't see, we just can't. We don't understand. We go here, and this part of 119 says, "Lord, give me understanding. Give me understanding, Lord, and I will keep Thy law. Yea, I will observe it with my whole heart. Open my eyes. Let me understand," and He will do that. You would be amazed what we forfeit by not allowing God to do that for us and be willing to do it. Later on, she did. It was her goal, and she did make it. She went to victory. And it was because I think the fog came in, but I don't remember exactly, but she remembered her failure before, and she just kept right on going. And sometimes when we fail, and we can look back and we can see where we fail and get our trust back into the Lord, and then by faith we will make it. We will make it for sure. Because why? Because God's Word says that we will. Okay, I will be quiet now. And thank you again. I love you, Sister Starla and Wild Bill. And I want to say a hello to Joy Bells if she's listening, because she started, got us all interested in this, and we certainly love her.
Well, we've lost Wild Bill, but we have so appreciated you, Blog Talk Mom, and this has been wonderful. It's really, really been good. And we thank you so much for your teaching and for you letting God lead you into this, and it's just awesome.
It is. This scriptures, this set of scriptures, it has just ministered to me in so many ways. And for you and Wild Bill to allow me to take so much of this time, I really deeply appreciate it. It's kept me focused. It's brought in other, many of the scriptures that you and I have done, I hadn't read before. And so in preparing for the program, I've spent more time in looking up scriptures. And so you should see, I've got this book. it's really something. I accumulate so many things. But I do want to narrow it down. And in some way, when I'm asked to teach or preach somewhere, I would like to do it with a PowerPoint or something. They'd have to get me for a 3-week revival. The way I'm doing it right now. Oh, man. That's funny.
Well, I want to thank everyone for listening, and we pray that you all have a very blessed week, and we'll see you back here next week at your place. Thank you. Good night.